You know he's doing it.
Who's doing it?
God is doing a new thing.
You know it.
You know he's doing it.
Yo, who's doing it?
God is doing a new thing.
Yo, fellas, let's do this.
Like Brutus.
Cause we ain't new to this.
Yeah.
My God is doing a brand new thing, but since time.
I gotta tell you what, it is super fun to use a little DC. You guys break dancing and I miss it because I look at the screen? Good job, man. Way to fight it. DC Talk, 1990. 33 years ago, everybody. Toby Mac. That's who that is wearing that fanny pack and those high tops. Why do I bring this up? Because New Thang is a song about new and it's ridiculous. And my kids like Toby Mac. But I liked him first, 33 years ago. So I'm just saying. And for every teenager who's like, Toby Mac was cool like 5 minutes ago. And now, he's an old guy like my bald dad. Right, Jed? I got you. You know who else is from 1990? You. Dax Allen. Oh. That's right. That's right. All right. So, hey, it is Happy New Year Day, right? New Year's Day. It's a holiday. So if you guessed with us this morning, I apologize. This isn't normally what we're like, but versions of this, right? We get to have a little bit of fun. And so on this New Year's Day, we're going to talk a little bit about new. And I thought, you know, to really get in the spirit of it. You guys have already heard an amazing message from Jamie, short and sweet, way better than how I pack a lot into very big space. Jamie does it in a small space. That was great, babe. Tom, fantastic message. You guys have already heard two sermons. So I'm not going to give you a really boring long one. I'm going to give you a boring short one. Deal? All right, good. So, but to start, let's do this. Let's play a little game called New versus Old. All right? Kids versus adults. Ooh, I like this. All right, hey, Noah, come on up here. Would you, college guy? All right. We just had like a chance to see, you know, the circle of life, you know, with these young children, and we've seen some old people already, but we haven't seen a college student up here yet. So grab that mic, if you would, to turn that on. Test his technology skills here, see what he's got. Is it green?
Yeah, it's green.
Oh, nice. Okay. So we're going to play a little game, and you can phone a friend. By that, I mean you can listen to the audience. And basically, I'm going to show you an image. Don't look ahead at the images. It's not fun. Deal?
I did this once recently.
Ty, is Ty here? Hi, man, you've ruined it.
He taught me well.
He taught you well. All right, don't look at the screen.
Okay.
All right, in fact, you know what? Why don't you stand right here and just stare. There we go, perfect. Okay, all right. If you think it's new, you just say new, and if you think it's old, you say old, but let's give the audience an opportunity to give some input, and then we'll let you make a final decision. Deal?
Deal.
Okay, fantastic. So new versus old. Here we go. First image. What do you guys think out there? Old? What do you think?
I'm thinking old.
You're thinking old? Why are you thinking old, Noah?
Those socks looked a little ripped and worn out.
They're holy socks and we're in church.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe they're new. Maybe they bought them that way.
Maybe they bought them that way?
Goodwill, eBay.
Yeah, no, those are probably old. The rips, the tears, that's fair. Well worn and used. How about this picture? What do you guys think?
Those look new.
You can turn around face this way. It looks ridiculous. Yeah. All right, thanks. Don't look right there. Come on.
Well, you told me to turn around.
This way.
Face the way. All right,
now you got to go over this way. All right, good job. Okay. All right. So why would you say new, Noah?
They're still in the packaging.
Still in the packaging. All right. These college guys, they know so much. How about this? What do you think, man?
What is that?
That right there is a chunk of cheese. And that, my friend, is something we call mold.
Ooh, yeah, that's old.
Old, you think so? Hey, quick PSA. Do not eat mold, right? Don't do that. No, that is finely aged blue cheese. No, that's nasty. That is old. It's got old in the word, right? Perfect. Okay, good call. Good call. How about this one? What do you guys think? Think new? What do you think, Noah?
I'm thinking new.
Why do you think new, man?
They're Hot Wheels. And they're still in the packaging.
Still in the packaging.
Yeah,
I got you. How about this car?
Yeah, it's probably old.
Probably old. Why would you say that?
Well, it's all like rusted out and
rusty.
Everything.
That makes sense. Rusty's old.
I did not say that.
That's what I heard.
I did not say that.
I heard there. That was weird. I don't know what that was about. Okay. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. How about this thing right here? What is this thing here? What is that?
Looks like a... I don't know.
It's not a microwave.
Yeah, I'm going with old.
That's old? Yeah. How many of you guys recognize that as like something you might have seen when it wasn't maybe old? Yeah, it's a history book. You can see them in museums too, right? That's definitely old. How about this thing right here?
That's new.
New? Yeah. Yeah, it's a flip phone concept. A little old, but it looks new. How about, careful with this one. Beautiful. The answer is beautiful. Nice job. Big round of applause for Noah on new versus old. Thanks, Noah. Well done, buddy. Well done. All right. All right. So obviously you guys got a pretty good grasp on this idea of new. Well done. Not worn, not torn up, and just kind of tattered and well used, but something that is unused, unworn, kind of brand new. I like it. You guys maybe got some new stuff at Christmas time, potentially. Maybe you got some old stuff if you were at a, sorry, Eli, we can't do this again. We got in trouble last week. You know what I'm saying? My bad. Well, I want to say this to you as we're sitting on this first day of a brand new year, something that I believe with all of my heart, that God wants to do something new in your life. I believe that for each of you, that God wants to do something new. We get stuck in ruts. We get stuck in sort of these just patterns of behavior and just grind day in, day out. And we're coming into January, which is filled with so much, right? And it's a hard one. In the wintertime, it's dark early and it can just feel drudgery. But man, I want you to know God is in the business of new. God loves to do new things. And I believe with all of my heart for everybody here, everybody who's participating online, God wants to do something new in your life. He wants that. He wants to do something new. This word new means unprecedented, never seen before, unheard of. That's what the word kind of defines as, right? Unprecedented, without precedent, never seen before, unheard of. But it also, in the Greek and in the Hebrew uses of the words in the scriptures, both of them have this word associated in this picture, the word fresh. And I think that's an important word to hang on to. When we think about God wanting to do something new in our life, sometimes we're like, what crazy new, huge, monstrous thing can God do? What earth-shattering, upside-down fruit basket destroy everything I thought, change into something totally new? Like, sometimes we think catastrophic, epic newness. And I want you to know that I think God wants to do something fresh and alive and new in your life. But maybe it's not a catastrophic newness in the sense that we think everything has to shift and everything has to change. And I want to unpack that with you a little bit. Our God is in the business of doing something new. He says, for I'm about to do something new. He says it to his people, something that has already begun. I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. In Isaiah, it's this promise that what you're feeling, the drudgery, the monotony, the grind, the hopelessness that comes from feeling like there's never any fresh life, he says, hey, I'm doing something new. And make no mistake, he's doing something unprecedented. He's doing something unheard of, never seen before. But I believe this year for 2023, he wants to do some fresh, alive things in your life, if you'll let him. I think he wants to say, I'm about to do something fresh. And I think this is an important statement. It's already begun. Because I can say God is doing something new, built on the past, and it's fresh and alive. But some of us slip into Ecclesiastes 1:9, and we sit in this verse. And I think sometimes we get in the way of God doing something fresh and alive in us. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun, right? We read that verse, and it seems to conjure up a sense of despair almost, that everything's just going to continue to be cyclical. There's nothing new. There's nothing exciting. There's nothing lively. Well, that's not exactly how this should read, right? Nothing new under the sun. No new thing, right, that exists under the sun. And really what it means is that there's nothing truly novel in this existence, right? Nothing truly unprecedented, meaning every new idea has some sort of precedent or echo from the past, right? Everything is building on something else. Nobody comes up with something totally brand new. You guys saw a computer a minute ago. That's what that was, kids, in case you didn't know. That was a computer. We have these phones and they're brand new, but they're not unprecedented. They're built on the foundation of what came before it. And sometimes we see big leaps in technology or big leaps in some kind of design or concept or building material, but they're always built on some precedent, some echo from the past, some foundation that was already established. So God can still do fresh and new without it being never seen before or completely novel, right? In fact, I think this verse gives us a little bit of what I'll call stability and security. That the things that go on in this life, they're not things that catch God off guard. Nor should there be things that catch us off guard. Our unchanging God doesn't change, right? He is constant. And the things that happen, the circumstances, the challenges, the adversity, the reality of sin and the struggle and the battle and walking in righteousness and trying to walk the narrow path, the things that we face and we endure, they're not all of a sudden new, like no one's ever had to face what we face. The things that we face are the same things people faced, packaged differently, but the same challenges from the beginning of time when people rebelled against God. That state hasn't shifted or changed. That condition hasn't changed. That reality hasn't changed. There's nothing new. There's nothing you're going to experience that God's unprepared for or that you need to be worried about being unprepared for, because there's nothing that's not tied to something that's happened before in this life of ours. So I can say to you, God wants to do something new in your life. I can say that with this concept in mind, that the things that he wants to do are part of something he's already begun in you. See, he's built a foundation in your life. He's been working in your life. He's been molding and shaping you. He's been calling and drawing and teaching and discipling and training so that you continue in this growth. And he wants to bring fresh newness to that journey. But it's not a journey that all of a sudden starts out of nowhere. It has an echo of the past, and it has precedent that he's been at work trying to accomplish. I want to unpack this in three things that we talk about with Jesus that I think help you to see it. This idea of new covenant in Christ, this idea of new commandment, and this idea of new creation, because these are all things that Jesus unpacks for us and helps us to see that he wants to do in us. And I want you to think about it in terms of freshness and having precedent and even echo from the past. New covenant. Scripture says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah." God says to his people through the prophet Jeremiah, "Hey, I'm going to do something new. There's going to be a new covenant." But here's the thing. This new and fresh covenant is still tied to the work he was doing with his people, right? It's the same people, just a fresh, new covenant. And it didn't make the old covenant obliterated and pointless and worthless and meaningless. It built upon the old covenant to bring new hope and new life that led to eternal life through Christ. Sometimes we think Jesus came, right, to just wipe the law out. And he didn't say that, did he? He said, "I came to fulfill." And this new covenant is a fulfillment of the old covenant in its new freshness through Jesus. But it didn't just wipe away everything that ever mattered or everything that was ever taught or the foundation or the principles that existed within the old covenant. Jesus says in this communion thing that we do at the Last Supper, he says in the same way after supper, he took the cup. This cup is the new covenant, right? of my blood, his blood, the guarantee of this new covenant, this fresh covenant, this covenant that is alive, the old covenant, dead in our sins and our transgressions, but alive in this newness and this freshness through Jesus. This idea of new covenant can be seen not in totally different covenant, nothing from the past matters, total epic shift and change, but rather fresh, a new stage of growth and hope and life through this new covenant we get through Jesus. New commandment. Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I've loved you, right? So that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He says you're supposed to love, and that's going to be the defining characteristic of what it means to be a disciple, right? Jesus says, this new command I give you. Was it really a completely new command out of left field that no one had ever thought about before? If we think and if we reason, all of God's commands are established and built on the foundation of love. The call to treat each other equitably and fairly and righteously and kindly and with justice, we would say that's really the embodiment of what love looks like lived out. So Jesus clarifies a new commandment for his people, but he doesn't create a new commandment that was unprecedented, never seen before, totally unheard of. He clarified it. He gave a fresh new commandment to his people, but it wasn't brand new, no ties to the past, no ties to the foundation, no ties to what he had already established and built upon. This new commandment was a fresh commandment built upon everything he'd been about and everything God had been about. And then Tom talked about this new creation. You guys heard it. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, right? The new has come. The old has gone. But it was funny as we come into this relationship with Christ and we experience salvation, forgiveness for our sin, and we're on this journey to head towards this destination of eternity. And along the way, you might recognize it, but we don't actually have heavenly bodies just yet. And as great as we behave in our moral character, every so often there's still sin that shows up as we battle against this sinful nature within us. So this new creation that we are in Christ, this new creature is a transformation, but it's a really, here in this moment, it's a state change, right? We were rebellious children who were exiled from God, separated from him. Through Jesus, we're adopted and we're made right and restored in relationship. And ultimately, there's a finished product that's going to look like a whole transformation. But the New Testament is filled with the struggle and the challenge of this new creation lived out in us in this journey towards the destination God's called us to, right? So as you look at each of these, covenant, commandment, and creation, each of these have an element of fresh. Hey, children's pastor, get your kid to pay attention, would you? It's gonna be fun. Fresh, new covenant, fresh, new commandment, fresh, new creation, alive because of Christ. And maybe if we look back at this a second, this nothing new under the sun, because we hold to this hope. If we lose the under the sun, the reality is this: our God is in the business of making everything new, right? In an unprecedented way. He says in Revelation, in this amazing depiction, seated upon the throne, scripture says he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no crying, no pain, for the former things have passed away for real. All the old stuff is gone, gone. And to the one who sits on the throne, he says loudly, behold, I make all things new. I make all things not just fresh, but I make all things unprecedented, right? Scripture says to us in Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That new thing God is creating and in the works of doing that he spoke about through the prophets of old, the new thing that he is culminating in eternity through Christ, that is unprecedented. That is something no eye has seen, right? never seen before. No ear has heard. It's unheard of. No mind has imagined. It's unimaginable. It's new in the fullest sense of the word. God has an eternity for us through Christ that is unprecedented, unimaginable. Can't even fathom it. It's maybe tied a little bit of echoes to the relationship that was lost in Eden, but restored through Christ, but it's going to be beyond some retread old design. It's going to be unbelievably new. So when I say to you that I believe God wants to do something new in your life, I mean it on a grand scale of eternal epicness, life-changing, world-shifting, everything different, kind of new. And that destination is there. And he has designed and crafted and molded that for us and called us to it and preparing that place for us. But also, in this year ahead, in the daily grind, in the minutes and the moments of what it looks like to walk faithfully with him, I believe he wants to do something fresh and alive in you, if we will let him do that. And that always starts with this concept, obedience. It always starts with obedience. Eventually, well done, good and faithful servant, you get to see the destination and the amazing, unimaginable, never seen, unheard of, unprecedented new thing and new creation that God puts together for those who love him, right? But every day, he gives us an opportunity to be refreshed. His mercies are new daily, right? Every day, he wants to bring fresh hope and life and fire to our spirit. And it begins with us daily saying, Father, I'll obey, right? I want to challenge you with something. This is the new White Rock app. Chances are it's not going to work after this week. So maybe this is a week challenge. I don't mean a week challenge. I mean a weekly challenge, right? But if you go to this app and you push on this little Bible button, it's going to bring up this Bible app. Super simple. It's just going to bring up the Bible. Now, you can download more. It gets complicated. Don't worry about it. But I want to challenge you with this. As we think about obedience and we think about lining ourselves up in a position where God can bring fresh life into us, I want to challenge you with this chapter a day challenge. And I don't mean like every single day this 365 chapters start at John 1 where the app starts and just go. Actually, I kind of do mean that. Give that a shot. But what if you miss a day? I don't want you to be like, oh crud, I'm 3 days behind. I gotta pound through 3 chapters really quick. I just want you to try something. I want to encourage you. I heard some stats that Jamie, you and I talked about that yesterday. Like 13% of Christians actually read their Bibles daily. That was 2 years ago. Last year it dropped to 7, under 10%. And here's the deal. All the voices of the world, all the influences of the world, all the relentless pounding of news and media and issues and struggles and all these things, God wants to bring life and freshness and do something new in you. But if you don't spend any time with him, you don't connect with him, you don't engage, nothing's gonna happen. You may have said, this new year, I'm gonna have some awesome like date nights with my wife and we're gonna bring something new and fresh into our relationship. Well, if you don't go on those date nights and you don't invest in that relationship, you're not gonna have anything new in that relationship. It's gonna be nothing. It's just gonna be the same old, right? So just wanna invite you to try this. We got a stupid app. It may not work very long. We don't know. Open it up to the Bible app. It'll open up right to the chapter you just read. Go to the next one and read that. And then the next day, do it again, next chapter. And if you miss a day, don't worry about it. As soon as you remember, open that sucker up and read that chapter. Trust that the Holy Spirit desperately wants to speak to you, desperately wants to breathe fresh life into you, wants to talk to you through the power of his word and make it come alive. It's not just some digit thing, man, and a bunch of weird technology. It's the living, breathing word of God squished into a little phone that wants to explode into your life. We got to spend the time to do that, to experience that. But I want to challenge you as you go into this year. God wants to do something alive and fresh in you. And we got to be obedient. We got to step up to the plate a little bit and engage with him so we can experience what he wants to do. And we're not going to have some weird chart that gets sent out so you know which day you're on. It's your app. It's your little Bible thing. And I just want to challenge you every day on the White Rock app. You may have another thing you're reading too. That's great. Too much Bible? No, stop, right? No, just one chapter in the app. Read it. See what God's going to do. And we built in a little taser, so if you don't do it, it tases you. I'm just kidding. All right. You guys have been super patient this morning. We're all over the place with a crazy holiday weekend. But I just want us to think as we launch into this new year, our relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters the most, right? These precious little kids matter so much. Our wonderful, bald, old people matter so much, right? I'm in the old, bald category myself. God loves you. He wants to bring life and freshness into your life if we'll let him. And if we'll stand and walk in obedience, we'll experience the amazing things that God has in store for you and each other together in this new year ahead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the privilege of just being your family and your church gathered this morning. Thank you for the year ahead. Thank you for the blank canvas that lies before us. And Lord, I pray you'd help each of us step into this new year with encouragement and excitement, knowing that you want to do new and fresh and alive things in us. And Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us to experience that daily and be able to look back at this year ahead when we're sitting here next year staring backwards and see all the new that you did in us. Well, Lord, I recognize it's really predicated on us being obedient. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful and obedient and just to take daily the step that lies before us. And maybe that's just jumping into your word for a chapter. Maybe that's talking to somebody. Maybe that's a little extra time praying. Or whatever that looks like. Help us to be faithful in this year ahead so that we might experience all the life you want to breathe into us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I love you, church. God wants to do a new thing in your life. So let's go out there and live it up.